Amen.
Amen.
Love you, Randy.
Love you, Heath.
Bring the word.
Again, I know most of you. Many of you were at Grace Church for years. Lynette, how many years were you my secretary?
Officially?
Yeah.
Officially on staff for 12 years, volunteered for 10
years. Yeah. So we have a little legacy, and out of that we've seen God literally transform our community. Just a little kind of prefaces. One of the things that God did is when he called me to Southern Pines, he called me to take the city. So part of today's message is called Take the City. You're in a series that I believe is about, basically, if I put it in a nutshell, losing your life for the purpose of God. It's not yours. You've been bought with a price. And God's called Leland, Reach Church, to reach Leland. And again, this, you can't do it as a church by yourself, but partnering together with the other pastors, beginning to pray. God's called you to take the city, called you to take this land, to inherit the promises. And let me tell you, it's going to be a fight. You know, when David was called to go into the city of Jerusalem, the Jebusites told him, he said, David, no one's ever been able to take this city. But God told David to go and take the city. Now, history says that how David entered the city was either through a water duct or a sewer duct. Having been a pioneering pastor, I would say probably David didn't enter the water duct because if he could enter the water duct, then many other invading armies would have done it. But he had to enter through probably the sewer duct, which is sometimes difficult. So God's called this church Reach Community Church to reach this community. And I know that God's called you here. I remember when Heath was praying about coming here, God began to speak to him about, we were at a conference and God says, there was somebody who said, hey, I feel like God's calling us to start a church in Wilmington. And then Heath came up and says, Randy, I think God's telling me to start a church. And we came up and prayed and it kept the word Leland. We didn't even know Leland existed. Leland just kept popping up all over the place. And then another pastor in our group of churches said that he felt like God was leading him. And then he said, well, maybe I missed the Lord. Should I go or should I not? And I says, Heath, either God called you or he's not. Now, you just go into the woods. You go one of those old Jesus moments and you hear from God. And brother, it doesn't matter what anybody else is doing. We're going to do what God tells you to do. And so Heath went, sought God, came back and says, Randy, as for me and my household, we're moving to Leland. And we're going to plant a church in Leland. We're going to take the city for Christ. Amen?
Amen.
So Heath was willing to give up his career, his livelihood. And we asked our church if there'd be anybody willing to partner with Heath. And guys, many of you that are here today are part of that group of people who literally gave up jobs and careers and resources. And you get to crawl through a sewer duct. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. I do believe, you know, again, I have a sermon that I'm going to preach, but these are the 3 points I really want you to get today. Now, in 1 Corinthians 13, it says, you know in part and you prophesy in part. I know Heath, I know many of you, but I want to tell you, I know in part some of the things that I'm saying. I know them, but have you ever read something and you know that's God, even though you know it? So I want to make a distinction. I know that there's a couple things that God is kind of emphasizing. And so if we, you know, I've never been known to go over in my sermon, so we'll try and... So I want you to get these 3 points. I believe God's telling this church that it's time to up the ante on prayer. I believe that there's some ground that needs to be possessed and that you guys need to get aggressive in the area of possessing the promised land. Heath and I spent yesterday driving around Leland, looking at locations and praying, going over the building that you guys were looking at. And guys, we have cool stories. Grace Church has tons of cool stories. Heath, I could go 4 hours on just God's supernatural provision. And the cool thing is you guys get to have some cool stories. Now, they're cool stories to me on this end. But when I was on your end of the stories and we had no money and God told me, I want you to have that building, or I want you to have that building, and we had absolutely nothing, go buy this building for $450,000. And I looked at our checking account and, you know, what, $10, $12? It was, you know, kind of like, okay, God. But guys, we have seen over and over again, when God's called you to possess the land, you're going to have to up the ante in the area of prayer. And again, three areas where the enemy loves to attack. He loves to attack and get divisive in the area of prayer, the prophetic, and worship. Some of the most forceful places. So I really encourage you to guard, making sure you guys are staying under the covering of the church, under the leadership of Heath and the leadership of the church, that so that thing becomes powerful. God's, there's an anointing on this church in the area of worship. God is doing something and will continue to add something in the area of worship into the community. But declarative worship, sometimes not even maybe during the service, but special times where you guys are praying and worshiping God, declaring in the heavenlies, breaking some things open. Encourage Heath to pray with the pastors. There's an authority that comes when you pray together with pastors. We have lots of cool stories there too, but that's all right. We don't have time. Okay, so that's number one, prayer. Number two is there's a real sense that even though I know you guys live here, when we started the church in Southern Pines, we lived in Fayetteville, Hope Mills, and there was a time when we could not get things started until we made the decision to give up our life and move to the city. And there's something where God's saying you have to be willing to move to the city and stake out grounds. The third thing is there needs to be, you need to work. And I know everybody's here is working, but it was kind of, I almost felt like the Lord was saying, you need to see your work as a place of ministry and as a mission field to advance God's kingdom. Church is what you do all week long, not just what you do on Sunday. Okay? So that's the introduction. For those that, if you have your Bibles with you, I'd like you to turn to Jeremiah 29. Now, many of us know the end of Jeremiah 29. I know the Lord has plans for you, plans to bless you, plans to prosper if you'll seek me, if you'll seek me with all your heart. But we don't read just before that in Jeremiah 29. Kind of the story is, Jeremiah was a prophet in Israel, in Jerusalem. They had continued to sin and turn away from God. And so there were a lot of false prophets saying that the Babylonian army is going to attack, but we're going to win the victory. And Jeremiah, on the other hand, says, guys, there's a bunch of false prophets. They're prophesying wrong because God's declared that you're going to be judged because you will not turn to God. You're worshiping false gods. And so, ultimately, Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, the country of Mesopotamia, the capital city is Babylon. Nebuchadnezzar comes and attacks the city, the Jews in Jerusalem, captures the city, sacks the city, and they're all taken into captivity except the remnant is left there. Jeremiah is left back behind. And so when they moved the people into captivity, they took them to the capital city of Babylon. But what they did is they didn't move them into the city, but they kept them on the outskirts. It's kind of like in my town. Again, it was I'm from Colorado. There was a white community and there was a Hispanic community, and so we called it living across the tracks. The Hispanic community lives on this side of the tracks. The white community lived on that side of the tracks. And so what happened is in Babylon, the people that were brought from captivity, the Jews, were on the other side of the tracks. And the Babylonians didn't want them coming into the city. And the Jews didn't want to come into the city because they wanted to stay separate. So that's kind of the history of where we are. Jeremiah 29 says this. This is what the Lord Almighty, the God of Israel, says to all those I carried into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon. Build houses, settle down, plant gardens, and eat what they produce. Marry and have sons and daughters. Find wives for your sons and give your daughters in marriage so that you too may have sons and daughters. Increase in number there. Do not decrease. Verse 7. And seek the peace and the prosperity to which I have carried you into exile. Pray to the Lord for it. Because if it prospers, you too will prosper. Now, What happened at this time is there were lots of Babylonian false prophets were saying, you guys stay out in your community and God will bless you there. There were prophets that were false prophets that were among the Jews that were saying, stay where we are because if we go into the community, they'll defile us. The pagan cultures, the pagan rituals, they'll defile us. Now, Jeremiah the prophet begins to give a different word. And this is what he says. Verse 8, he says, yes, this is what the Lord Almighty, the God of Israel, says. Do not let the prophets and the diviners among you deceive you. Do not listen to the dreams you encourage them to have. They are prophesying lies to you in my name. I have not sent them, declares the Lord. This is what the Lord says. When 70 years are completed from Babylon, I will come to you and fulfill my gracious promise to bring you back. So Jeremiah is basically prophesying the exact opposite of what everybody else is saying. Now, Jeremiah's got a little bit of something that everybody else doesn't happen. He was actually correct. And God, he said, guys, you can try all you want, but you can't win this battle when God's judging a nation because their unwillingness to repent. You know what fellowship is? Fellowship is this. Two fellows in the same boat going the same direction. And when God's judging a nation, all the fellows in the ship, when God's judging a part of the group, the rest of the group gets to go along for the ride. Okay? So all the people are in Babylonian captivity, and Jeremiah is saying this to him. He says, you're saying, let's stay separate. And Jeremiah begins to speak a different word. He says, guys, you might as well go ahead, move into the city, into the pagan culture, because it's in the city that I'm going to bless you. It's in the pagan culture, right in the midst of the devil's den. And if you try to keep yourself separate, you know, that almost sounds contrary. You know, it says in James, it says, you adulterous people, don't you know that friendship with the world is hatred towards God? Anyone who chooses to be a friend of the world becomes an enemy of God. Draw near to God. He will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners. Now, it sounds like we should just kind of have an isolation mentality and be separate. But what Jeremiah is prophesying, he says, you're not going to prosper until you make a decision to move across the tracks and break down the barrier. And he says, when you move into the city and you commit to live your life among the people, God says, I am still going to judge the Babylonians. I'm going to correct you and bring judgment to you for the purpose of repentance. But as you turn to me because of the correction that I sent, I'm going to bless you. And at the same time, the people in Babylon are going to be judged because of their sin. So God says, I want to bless and I want you to be a light in the midst of darkness. It's not going to happen if you don't move to the city and commit to give your lives to Mary and literally be a willingness to die. And I think that if I was to say something here, everybody here, you've already moved. You've already made the decision. There's a place where you have to say, God, I had other plans for my life. I give them up. And I commit to fulfill your will. I commit to move to the city. Now, guys, if God wants to move you later on, that's his will. But right now, there has to be a willingness to surrender, even though, let me give you this story. I had a gal in the church, in the early years of the church. She was married. She was actually at one time going to be married to a well-known Christian celebrity. And things fell apart. And so she went out kind of in a hasty little situation. She had a friend and one of her girlfriend's brother. And they were chatting and says, well, let's get married. And she says, okay. So they went to a justice of the peace. And while they were getting married, she did this. You guys see what that is? She had her fingers crossed because she was saying, I'm getting married, but she was doing it for all the wrong reasons. How many of you know you can do the right thing for the wrong reasons? For her, she went through years and years of struggle because she was trying to do it in her own strength. And nothing would change in her life until she repented of doing the right thing for the wrong reason. And so for her, she really couldn't engage in her marriage. She was in constant conflict in her marriage because she wasn't willing to do marriage the way God wanted. So it's like this. I always tell people, it's kind of like when we're young couples, our culture is choosing just to live together rather than to be. It's like having the joys of a physical relationship without the commitment. And what I always say this, the reason you need to get married, first of all, it honors God. Second of all, is what a parent allows in moderation, a child will do in excess. The reason that you have to be willing to say, I'm going to make a commitment, is because it's not if trouble comes. Guys, if you get married, trouble's going to come. But when you get married, it's what you're saying is, for better, for worse, for richer, for poor, I'm going to hang in there no matter what. No matter if it works out, I'm gonna be there. I'm going to remain faithful. And so what God's calling Reach Community to do is to say, folks, it's not just about having this grand idea of coming and planting a church and leaving. It's making a commitment to give your life. It's getting married. And the reason you want to do that is because, again, what a parent allows in moderation, a child will do in excess. You guys need to model to your family and your children, because Scripture says the sins of the fathers are passed on the third and fourth generation. Now, what God wants us to do is we don't want our children, because we allowed compromise, because we weren't willing to make the commitment. Our children need to see that when we hear from God and we know what God wants us to do, that we're willing to back it up with our action. God desires obedience. What He wanted with the children of Israel is obedience. Again, for the Babylonians, moving into the city would cause Israel to lose their spiritual identity. To the false prophets of Israel, they were saying, don't move into the city and keep your spiritual identity. Jeremiah, on the other hand, says, move into the city, become a light in the darkness. They were called to take the city of Babylon. John chapter 17 says, I have given them your word, and the world has hated them, for they are not of the world any more than I am of the world. My prayer is not that you take them out of the world, but that you protect them from the evil one. God's planting you here in the city of Leland. I believe God's going to use you guys to change the spiritual climate of our community. Just kind of a story for our church here in Southern Pines. When I moved to Southern Pines 26 years ago, there was white church and there was black church. And when I'm talking white church and black church, there was no separation. It was clear, distinct. There may be one white family, a white individual in a black church. But guys, Baptists couldn't talk with the Methodists. Methodists couldn't talk with the Charismatics. We were Christians, but there was no Jesus church. And so what we did after 10 years, we were doing the 50, 75, 90 yo-yo, up and down. Guys, 10 years. I was working two jobs for 13 years, going through Bible college. I was exhausted. And God just kind of got me to the place where He says, Randy, are you ready to surrender? You've been working hard. God, what do you mean? Randy, I didn't call you to start a church. I called you to take the city. I said, Lord, I don't understand. What do you mean? I'm doing as much as I can. Two jobs, basically two full-time jobs, 13 years. And then I just said, okay, God, what do you want me to do? So at that time, we got together with a group of pastors. I said, guys, we had multiple churches that were 50, 75, 90, had been that way for 4 or 5 years. Ours, 10. Making a little impact in our community, seeing very few people come to Christ. What we did is we got together as a group of pastors, and we started repenting of the sins of our community. We got the black churches come together with the white churches, and we repented of the racism and the bigotry that was in our community. We repented of the religiosity, the religious breakdown in denomination. How many of you know when we go to heaven, the Baptists and the Methodists and the Charismatics and the Pentecostals, the whites, the blacks, the yellows, the greens, the reds, we're going to be in heaven together. So we started repenting of the sins of our community, started committing to pray together. And guess what happened? All those churches started growing. of the 15 pastors, four of them, God gave them miraculously buildings just like ours. Buildings that none of them could afford. What happened is they started seeing lots of people come to Jesus. We started seeing lots of people come to Jesus. What happened is you go to Grace Church now. I have a multi-ethnic staff. We have black, white, Lumbee Indian. You walk into our church, it's Korean, Laotian, Chinese, Japanese. It's going to be like heaven. We have the up and outs and the down and outs. Amen? And so God's called you to reach Leland. He's calling you to move into the city, to break the stronghold of this city. And I believe that there's a spiritual poverty. It's almost a sin of poverty or a recession that God wants to break over this community. There's a religious tradition here that I believe, and it comes as you guys begin to repent and really begin to pray over your community. Guys, this year, our church alone, we've already seen over 300 people make decisions for Christ. But it's not just our church, it's the communities. Churches are growing. Because why? Because we changed the spiritual climate. I believe you guys at Reach, God has set you as a plow to begin to open the ground here in this community. I believe that God is going to begin to do something in your community, and you will. Not just attract church believers, you're going to begin to attract unchurched believers, as well as church believers who've been attending church all their life. They know Jesus here, but they don't know Jesus here. How many of you know the longest 18 inches of the world is from here to here? And this area has a lot of people who know Jesus here, but don't know Jesus here. All right, what time is it? Oh, God. 1 Corinthians 6:19-20 says, "Do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have received from God? You are not your own. You've been bought with a price. Therefore, honor God." Folks, you think your life is yours. God's saying you're not yours. You're mine. Follow me. Obey my will. Do it my way. Stop trying to do it your way. And God says, I'll bless you. I'll provide for you. And now, this is a scripture that the Lord used with me during those days. Psalm 37:1-3 out of the New American Standard. I love this. It says, "Do not fret because of evildoers. Do not be envious towards wrongdoers. For they will wither quickly like the grass and fade like the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land. Dwell in the land and cultivate faithfulness." Make a commitment to say, God, until you do something different, I'm going to buy a burial plot and I'm going to live and I'm going to die and I'm going to give my life for the city. Again, I want to talk to you a lot about the city, but it's more about your heart. John 12:24 says, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it bears much fruit." You know how they trap a monkey in the jungle? What they'll do is they'll take a gourd, they'll let it dry, and what they'll do is they'll put a hole in the top of it, just enough. They'll put some type of fruit or sweet-smelling thing in there. They'll drop it down there. The monkey sticks its hand in the gourd. The gourd is tied to a rope. The monkey will reach its hand into the gourd, and what happens is when it tries to pull that piece of candy out, the thing that is enticing for them, because it's in their hand, the hand forms a fist and they can't pull it out. If the monkey would just realize he's ultimately going to die or lose his life, if he would just let go of what is precious to him, he could have his life. I don't know why God has put that scripture on my heart. Part of it is the series, but man, there's just a sense of, guys, there has to be a willing to say, I'm going to move to the city. I'm going to give my life to the city. I'm going to do God's will. And when you do that, it's kind of saying, Lord, not my will, not what I want. This isn't what I would choose. I had a whole lot different idea for my career. Just like when God brought Heath here into 2030, I go, he's got a call to ministry, brand new. Doesn't even hardly know Jesus. A little bit. But see, God has a word over your life. God has a word over this church. And I really want you guys to begin to believe that God's going to use this church to make a significant difference. Guys, what's God done through our church? Through our relationship of churches? Guys, we're taking the city. We have literally changed the community. We've prayed in leaders into every major governmental position, key jobs, over and over again. Now some of those are changing the shift, so we're going to have to pray some of them back in. It's an ongoing fight. But guys, wouldn't you rather start seeing a lot of people come to Christ and pay a price to go through the sewer duct now? Cities are on God's heart. God sent the city of Jerusalem into the capital city of Babylon. When the Acts chapter 1, when Jesus told him, he says, go into the city of Jerusalem, wait for me there because I'm going to send my power. Those guys didn't want to go into Jerusalem. They were under persecution. They all went together and they what? They all gathered together in unity and prayer in one accord. The Holy Spirit fell because they were in unity and one accord. Right? And God says, now go into Jerusalem, capital city, Judea, close culturally, but a little bit different. Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, part of the Jewish faith, but half pagan. And then to the uttermost parts of the world. God's called Reach Church to reach up in a relationship with God, to reach in community with God's people, and then to begin to reach out. So, let me summarize my 3 points. God's called you as a church to up the ante in the area of prayer. He's called you to take the city. Number 2, you need to work. You need to see the place where you work as a mission field, the neighborhood that you live in. Don't just go to work on Sunday morning or Monday morning. Go to a mission field for Jesus. Amen? And then go to work, pray. What was my other point? I forgot.
Move into the city.
Move into the city. Golly, guys. Move into the city. I don't know what that means for some of you, but maybe it's like, hey, Lord, I'm not sure I want to be here. But guys, let's take the city. I want to just give you some cool faith stories. Guys, when God called us into Southern Pines, the first place he told me, he said, Randy, I want you to... We started in a little apartment complex, and the lady had just gotten saved a couple weeks earlier. We needed a place to meet, and she said, well, why don't you use the place that... I just got saved 3 weeks ago. Why don't you use my apartment complex? So I preached on this side of the couch. My wife did Sunday school, children's nursery, daycare, and everything else on the other side of the couch. We started moved from there to our house. God began to speak to me. He says, Randy, I want you to find a place to meet and start Sunday morning services. There was only one place. I kept driving by this hotel called the Days Inn. They wanted $200 per room to use. They had a big conference room about twice this size, and then we needed another place for children's ministry. So they wanted $200 per room. Back then, we were getting $300 a month support from our church in Fayetteville. That was for me and for the church combined. So my UPS salary was paying for the church. I walked in. The first time they said, hey, we'd like to rent these for a church, and they said it's $400 a Sunday. I said, ma'am, we can afford about $200 a month for everything. And she said, sir, I'm sorry. So I went on one of those, went away discouraged, just like, God, I kept driving by this place, just, you know, you have that little prompting in the Holy Spirit. It just, because every place God tells me to go, the opposite happens. Does that make sense? So I went on one of those old God prayer walks. God, I don't understand, Lord. I know I'm supposed to be there. You call me into Southern Pines. I'm driving home. I stop at the stoplight, and I just felt prompted to go in. So I went back in. And ma'am, Randy Thornton Grace Church, we're interested in the building. And she says, well, sir, it's $200 per room, so that's $400 per Sunday. That's $1,600 a month. I said, ma'am, we're a church. We can afford $200 for the whole month. She said, well, sir, I'm sorry. So I said, well, you know, Lord, I obeyed you. So I'm ready to walk out the door, and then there's a lady standing behind the counter, some book behind there, turned toward my back, or her back was towards me. She turned around and says, hey, sir, she says, did you know that the Days Inn at that time was a Christian-owned corporation. She says, I'm auditing the books down here from Raleigh. Why don't I go back to the corporate office and see what they would say? So she went back to the corporate office and said, Mr. Thornton, I'll give you a call tomorrow. She called me back the next day. She said, Mr. Thornton, if you'd be willing to be the chaplain for the Days Inn, we'll give you the rooms for $200 for the month, and we'll give you 1 week free at any Days Inn if you'll just be our chaplain. Sure. Okay, we were there for a season. There was a shopping center that was kind of like they build a new shopping center, the old shopping center dies. There was a building called the Stories Building, humongous building, humongous. And the Lord says, Randy, I want you to go to the Stories Building to have a church. I went to the Stories Building. I said, okay, God, that is way too big, but there's a little bait and tackle shop on the left side of it. The door was kind of hanging off the hinges. I said, God, that would be perfect. So I walked upstairs to where the office was, and I said, ma'am, Randy Thornton Grace Church, God's called us to start a church here. What would be the rent on this building? And he says, well, it's $1,500 a month plus utilities. We'd grown by about 20 people. So I said, ma'am, we can afford about $400 a month, and that includes utilities. And she said, sir, I'm sorry, that's virtually impossible. And I'm going, Lord, you said go to the Stories Building. I said, well, maybe God said storage buildings. So I went and looked all over for storage buildings. And, you know, and then I just went on one of those, oh, God, you got to do something prayer walks. I came back in the shopping center and I was sitting there looking at that little bait and tackle shop. And I says, God, that place is too small. We need the place beside it, too. And I just had that little whisper of the Holy Spirit said, I'm going to give it to you. Right then, a little kid came out of this. It was a landscaping company. A little kid came out of this Hefner's Landscaping. And I said, God, I'm going to go ask that man to move. And if he moves, I'll know that this is your will. So I walked in, introduced myself to this guy named Chuck Hefner. I said, Mr. Hefner, I know you don't know me. My name's Randy Thornton, and we're interested in the building beside you about starting a church. I said, we need your building. Would you be willing to move? He said, man, Pastor, that's really unusual that you say that. Our business is really doing well, and there was a government office at the end of the strip mall that's larger, and we need more space, and I can park my equipment behind it. Yeah, we'd be glad to move. How much can we afford? $400. I said, now I've got two buildings. So I walk upstairs. It's a different person. I said, ma'am, Randy Thornton Grace Church. I told her about Mr. Hefner. She says, sir. I said, how much is the first building? She says, well, that one is $1,500 plus utilities. Mr. Hefner's building is $1,300 plus utilities. Plus utilities. So that's $1,500, $1,300, $2,800 plus utilities. How much can we afford? $400. So I said, ma'am, that's what we can afford, $400, and that includes utilities. Mr. Thornton, sorry. So I left, and she says, well, why don't I go talk to the corporate office in Charlotte? We'll give you a call back. So she called me back the next day and says, so Mr. Thornton, you're not going to believe this. She said, if you can come up with $500, we'll give you the buildings. We'll give you 3 months free rent for the first building, and as soon as Mr. Hefner moves out, they thought he'd move out of quickly. So he didn't. It was about 3 months. We came in. Our people, we just went in, gutted, worked, remodeled, tore out the fish bait holes and all the tackle stuff, and then. We had other cool stories along that way, too. And then Mr. Hefner finally moved out, so they ended up giving us 6 months free rent. 6 months free rent. And by the way, the average utility bill for the two buildings was $800 a month. We were there for many, many years. When we first moved to Southern Pines to start Grace Church, is that right? These are cool stories. When we first moved to Southern Pines, there was one convention center in the community, a big building, about 15,000 square feet, and there was only one place to rent our little, me, my wife and I, a single gal, and one other family moved to Southern Pines to start the church. And someone prayed during this. It was kind of like a setting in, praying over the church. So all of our little groups of churches came, and we prayed over that. And someone said, well, why don't you ask God to give you the building you're in? This big, you know, back when you're 10 people strong, you're going, this big building? But I always, there was a seed planted. That was in June of 1988. 10 years later, God began to speak to me and said, Randy, I have that building for you. I one time went and checked on the price of what that building was, and it was at that time $850,000, and it was $1.2 million on the tax books. How much money did we have? And I remember we would go up, and I told Heath to do what we did. Is I said, Heath, just go up onto the property. If God has that property for you, I said, you don't know that. I said, Heath, I feel peace. You feel peace. It's really the best place that we have. I says, if you feel that's God, then let's just go. Let's take a bunch of oil up there. Let's go have some prayer meetings. Buddy, when we would go up there, we'd do covert prayer. We'd take these gallons of oil. We'd be walking around praying. They're like, I hope nobody sees us. We're a bunch of weirdos, you know. We were repenting of all kinds of things in that convention center. All right. And guys, and then God just spoke to me. One day I went into the parking lot, and we checked on the price, and I said, Lord, we can't afford that. And I remember going into the parking lot, and I was sitting in the parking lot praying. I said, God, I feel like you want us to have this building. Lord, you have to provide. And all of a sudden, I saw a car backed up to this. They have a kitchen. So I walked up to the kitchen. And I walked into the kitchen, and there was an African-American gentleman there. And I said, sir, I'm Randy Thornton from Grace Church. We're interested in this building. I want to use it for a church. And he says, he had a real southern accent. He says, Pastor, you remember me? And I said, no, sir. He says, when we went to the Days Inn, that hotel, they used to have a restaurant out front. And in order to get to the restaurant, the reason they give it for $200 is they cut through our service to take the food out to the restaurant. All right. He says, you remember me? I said, no. He said, remember that cook that used to cut through your restaurant? I says, I remember you. I remember the cutting through. I don't remember you. He said, well, you don't know this about me. He says, after a while, I started opening the door to the church services, heard the gospel, gave my life to Jesus Christ when you were preaching, and now I'm an ordained deacon in my church. He says, sir, I'd love to give you a tour of this building. So he showed us the building. There were weeds growing up. It was just in horrendous condition. And God, when I was in the parking lot, God says, Randy, I want you to buy the building for $450,000. $450,000. I know it was already listed for $850,000 a year earlier. And so I went and checked on it. And again, it was an enormous price. And then I was still working at UPS. I remember one day, I said, God, you want me to have this building? And I drove by the building. In fact, this is my prayer. I said, God, we can't afford the building. The building's in disarray. You've got to fix it. Good prayer, wouldn't you say? So I remember driving by one Sunday, or coming home from work, and I noticed that there was a sign out front that says, Boot Scootin' Saloon. I said, you know, hey, God, you told us we're supposed to have the building, and now some bar isn't taking over the building. They bought the building. I'm going, God, the opposite of what was supposed to happen. So we were there. Our church is still going. And I said, well, God, I'm going to go look for other places because I feel like you're telling me I'm supposed to find another place. I'd go pray, look at all these different places, but I'd come back onto that piece of property. And I said, God, give me this building. You told me this is mine for your kingdom, for your purposes, for Grace Church. Is it okay, guys, to do that? And so what happened is, about 6 months, year later, we have a gentleman named Jim LaFoon comes in. He says, guys, he's a prophetic type guy, and he says, God's going to give you a building in a short period of time. I'm thinking, I know what building he's going to give us. One of my elders is making a delivery up at the Boot Scootin' Saloon. He gets in his truck, drives to the church. He says, Randy, the guy at the Boot Scootin' Saloon says that their bar is too big for a country line dancing Western bar and too small for a conference center, and they're closing the doors. I got in my car, drove up to the Boot Scootin' Saloon, walked in, hello, Randy Thornton, Grace Church, we want this. He said, well, why don't you just, we're under lease to purchase the building. And you just give me a sum of money. And it was like, oh, we had nothing close to that money. And I said, sir, we can't do that. He said, well, he had this disgust. He goes, well, why don't you go down to the Days Inn, the people who own the building, and there's the guy who manages it. He used to be the biggest bar hopping, cigar smoking guy in Moore County, and now he's got some Jesus bumper sticker. So I go down. I walk in, introduce myself to a man named Ken Rowland. Ken Rowland is there, and he says, Randy, you don't know this about me. I told him about the cook. I told him about the God told me to buy the building. And he says, Randy, you don't know this about me. He says, I have lived a very rough life. My body is taking its toll. He says, I have emphysema. The doctors have given me just a short period of time to live. But one thing, since I've given my life to Christ, to see that building up on the hill, I feel like God's mission for my life is to see that building used for the glory of God. I've tried to bring in Christian concerts, Christian crusades, but nothing's taken place. I believe my mission in life is to see that building used for God's glory. I'd love you guys to have the building. I says, Ken, I don't want to rent the building. I want to buy the building. I didn't tell him rent. I said, Ken, I don't want to just rent the building. No, I did. I said, I don't want to rent the building. I have no money, but I want to buy the building. He said, well, how much you want to pay? I said, Ken, you tell me. While I'm there, people hear that that building is going on the market, and people are calling because it's one of the most highly visible places in all of Moore County. Correct? Mm-hmm. People are calling because they want that building. He says, Randy, how about $450,000? I says, Ken, that sounds good. By the way, there's 2 acres on the back of the property. Let's throw that in too. Now, guys, it sounds weird, but that's what happened. I said, now, Ken, the only problem, I don't have any money. I said, but Ken, we're going to make this happen because this is God. He says, Randy, this is God. I went back to our little church. We took up an offering, and we raised $10,000. We went up there, and I said, Ken, we got $10,000. He said, now, I want to buy the building, but you got to rent it to me. So we started renting that building, which the Utskutten Saloon had come in and fixed the air conditioners, remodeled to a high degree a lot of what needed to take place at their expense. How many of you know that God says He'll take what is given to the wicked and store it up for the righteous? And so what happened is we moved into that building in January of 1997, and we had less than 100 people. Right now we're over 1,400 people, planted multiple churches, multi-sites, raising up leaders, seeing God use us in a significant way. So guys, do not despise the day of humble beginnings. I want to encourage you to have faith, to believe that God someday is going to take this little band of brothers that are committed to being willing to live and to die for the advancement of God's kingdom here in the city. There's going to be lots of opportunities to leech you off. There's going to be a lot of things to distract you from what God's called you to do. But if you guys will commit and begin to live, every one of you, as a missionary for God's kingdom and His purpose, you will begin to see a change. As I was praying out there earlier, I says, guys, I felt like the Holy Spirit was saying, get in gear. And I'm going, man, Randy, we're kicking it. I says, get in gear. Because God's going to begin to change the gears. Does that make sense? You have to be moving. And God said, get in gear because I'm going to begin to change the gear. I want you to begin to pray to the north, the south, the east, and the west, that God would begin to bring increase, not only for your church, but I believe God's going to begin to do something in the city. And so some of these church plants that are really, truly concerned with advancing God's kingdom, God's going to bless them as well. So pray for the peace and the prosperity of the city. And I promise you, God's going to change your life, your marriages. It's going to be a fight. Because, guys, when you make the decision, it says, unless a seed falls to the ground and dies, it does not bear fruit. But once it commits to dying, then when you plant one seed, what happens is there's an exponential curve. Guys, you will see thousands of people come to Christ, just as we have. You just don't have to wait the next 10 years to do it. Amen?
Amen.
Father, I thank you for Reach Community Church. I believe that, God, the destiny that you have for these people, you're bringing people in here. You're going to change their lives. You're going to change their marriages. Father, this is going to be a world-changing church. Father, I pray that you give them eyes to see what, God, you're going to do in the future and the destiny of this place. God, bless them and use them in Jesus' name. And all God's people said,
Amen.
Amen.